This is a test of the American Fuck Off Broadcast Network. Eat it, bitch. Welcome. Last night I smoked a cigar in front of a bonfire. I felt like Arnold Schwarzenegger, minus the millions of dollars and the pecs. Coming soon. Now, we could go into what that means, but I'm really tired of explaining things and what they mean, and because I've been done that, and I was at a really cool bonfire last night, and as I said, I smoked a cigar, and I felt, you know, well, I don't feel straight, because I'm not straight, but then I'm also aware of that I have my father's face, and so when people do see me for the first time, and then I open my mouth to talk, and they're like, oh, interesting. So here we are. Interesting. Because yesterday was my final day of subbing for now, and I go on to another job that I got. So I'm good. It was, now I can talk about it. Now I can talk about, for those years, and it felt like 10 years, but it was less than that, what it really was like, the moments. I mean, I will say that the first time going into it, you're basically like, oh shit. If you trip up on their names, they tell you. They fucking tell you. And they don't beat around the fucking bush. And they're like, that's not my name. Then why do you have four names? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm Mexican. Never mind. Don't ask that question. And then it gets awkward. And then you're like, okay. It's almost like that Ashley Simpson thing. Remember where she's caught fucking lip syncing? Remember that fucking shit? She never escaped that. And she does that jig, you know? And then the backing track still plays and the band is like trying to save themselves. That's what it's like when you mispronounce their name. And so now finally I just say, look, correct me. And they'll laugh. I said, what are you laughing for? Correct me. But why? Because I want to say it properly. Oh, but you're just a sub. Yeah, I'm going to be here for two more days. And they're either like, oh shit, he's being real. Or they'll be like, oh, fun. I'm like, yeah, you think it's fun, but we're still going to do work. Yeah, you may think I'm wet behind the ears, but we're still going to do work. And yes, I brought a speaker, so then you're going to listen to music. What kind of music? I said, well, I'm going to decide that because I'm in charge. So basically, it's along the lines of that really eternal phrase that Martha Plimpton said in The Goonies. I feel like I'm babysitting and I'm not getting paid. Because here's what happens. They don't tell you when you go into this. Oh, by the way, you're not going to get paid for a month. And I'm like, what? Because I started in October, and they're like, yeah, you're going to bypass the paycheck. You're not going to get paid till November 30th. So then I had to take out a small loan. It was small, smallish. And, yeah, you know, it kept me afloat for a bit, and I still went to my concerts and had my fun and everything. And though the messages are not coming in. And here we go. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. You know, that's the other thing about social media is it takes people more than a minute to catch up. More than a fucking minute. I mean, you know, in reality, if you're in the classroom and it takes you a moment to catch up, then you have to go to resource. So, yeah, because I can fucking say that shit. I can fucking say that shit because I am fucking free of that, okay? There's really nothing. I'm like Pinocchio. I've got no strings to hold me down. Now, the moment I get an invitation to go to, what's that island? Remember the island he went to and he turned into a fucking donkey? Okay. You know, I mean, there really isn't an island like that. It would be funny if there was, you know? I mean, if I want to go somewhere where everyone's going to, you know, honk and ee-haw, you know, I go to the bathhouse. That's where I fucking go. And then I just kind of watch the melee unfold because, you know, they make all these promises on the advertisement. And then you walk in thinking it's going to be a really cool pool and everyone's making out and showering and shit. And there's going to be an orgy and it's like, oh, no. People are just walking around like they're at a fucking festival because that's what it fucking felt like. So do I go there? No, not anymore. Besides, I went there to do my shadow work, and it was fascinating. But we're talking about education here, and I'm going to educate you. So here's what I did. I knew my final week, because I'm in charge. I'm always in charge. My final week was going to be interesting because, you know, you basically can take any job you fucking want. And the other ones, you're like, eh, I don't want that. I don't want that. And then you arrive, okay? Last week, I did 2 days with one class. Those kids were really cool. And I did this funny thing where they were talking about the term offspring. And I thought, oh, okay, that's cool. I'm a scientist. I know about science, and you know, words have meaning, and words have authenticity, shall we say? And they were just learning these scientific terms. I'm so thankful they weren't learning sex ed, because that would have scared me. But then if they give me the license to teach it, it's like, oh, this is cool. You're gonna give a gay man license to teach a bunch of straight and probably questioning about sex education. It's like, oh God. And then you have to remember, okay, girls, we can't take it like, we can't talk about it like that. It's like, no, you gotta turn that voice off. Now, I will turn that voice on when I want to get their attention, okay? Like when the girls, especially the girls, and they're not on task, and I'll look at them and they laugh. And they'll say slay, because they'll be like, I'll say, okay, girls. Because they know I'm talking to them. So here's a beautiful thing. I said to them, there are two types of offspring. They're like, yeah? Well, not really. There's you. You're the offspring of your mom and dad. And then there's the band. Separated. And I played it like that on my phone. And they're rocking out. And they're giving me the devil horns. And I'm thinking, yeah, you guys don't even know what that means. It was fascinating. It was a lot better than them trying to find me on TikTok. And then they're so funny. They're like, oh, yeah, I could find you on TikTok _209. I looked at them and said, first of all, I don't represent that. I won't ever represent that. Okay, I go all over the place. I go to Sacramento. I go to San Francisco. I go to Los Angeles, Arizona, Nevada. Here's the thing. I don't represent. I don't. So why would I represent that? The 209, what they're thinking and assuming. I said, I got a little more class than that, okay? You should have seen their response, like, ooh! I said, yeah, I got a little more fucking class than that. And also, I can be ghetto when I want to, so fuck you. But I couldn't say it like that, because then I'd get in real trouble. So I just thought it for a moment. I thought, yeah. They were like, because they didn't get that at first. What do you mean you can be ghetto when you want to? I said, you remember Whitney Houston? They're like, yeah, she could be ghetto when she wanted to. She was from Brick City, New Jersey. Oh, I was like, yeah. So when I meet people and I'm like in another town, where are you from? I'm from Stockton. Ooh. In fact, my buddy Strombo, what's up, George? Oh, and I told him where I was one time because he was on my podcast, this podcast. Yes, this fucking podcast, this show, you bitches. And he was like, where are you from, man? I said, Stockton. And he went, ooh, that's a tough place. I said, yeah, it is. And then from talking to my cousin, I found out that Stockton people founded Compton. So take me to Compton. I do like Compton. I love going to Compton. I love going to the Compton swap meet. The guys are always very nice. You know, what's up, guys? And, you know, but I don't talk like that in front of them, you know, because then, you know, it would start a fire, an interesting fire. What do I bring? I bring the devil out of people. More ways than one. It's so fun to say that. And that's why I fist bump. I don't like to really shake hands with the students. I fist bump them because, you know, I mean, I don't have a secret handshake or anything. I just fist bump, you know. That's what I fucking do. So it was, I wouldn't say it was bittersweet, you know. I had always said that, you know, everything runs its course. And also, I was just, you know, you're gonna get paid monthly, and you have to lug around a fucking time card. And we live in 2020 fucking four, and everyone's punching in on a phone, or everyone's punching in on, you know, a device. People aren't carrying around a fucking time card like it's 1895. So, and I can say that I can let the fucking cat out of the bag, and I don't fucking care. It's like, whatever. If I ever decide to go and do that again, I'm going to fucking LA and teaching. It's like, fuck. Or somewhere else, I mean. because yeah, why would I, you know, there's places in the Bay maybe I could, but that's not far enough. That's not fucking far enough to do what I want to do. So here we are. Here we are just chatting it up, living it up, and also the music, you know. Last 2 days we were talking about music, we talked about science, and then I found myself, because I go on, I wouldn't say a tangent, I have these moments, these lightning strike moments, where all of a sudden we're talking about science, and I'm talking about synapses, and they probably don't even know what a fucking synapsis is. Inside your brain, your synapses, and I said, they make sounds, like, and they're laughing. And then they're looking at me inquisitively and like, wait, what do you mean? So it's like when you play video games, because all of you guys play video games. Yeah, we play video games. Your synapses are your hand-eye coordination. And your brain is telling, okay, turn here. Okay, fatality. Okay, jump high like this, but hit the A button, hit the X button. Or when you're going to drive, and when you drive, then it's really going to be synapses time. What about when you drive and they're all telling me how they saw the car I drive? And I'm like, yeah. I said, you know, that's not a cheap car. I still have to pay it off. And they went, oh, you just didn't put all your money down? I said, I put what I could down. But anyway, synapses. And then I explained to them the frontal lobe and the cortex and everything. And the your brain is basically floating in spinal fluid. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah. So if ever they take a brain out to study it, it can fall apart. So they have to remember to keep it hydrated and lubricated and all this stuff like that. How do you know all this stuff? I said, I know this stuff because I grew up with a scientist. My father was a scientist. So I learned all of this really early on. You know, I remember, you know, asking the questions because I was very inquisitive and all that. So, and that's as far as I'll go. And then they'll ask things about, you know, I can volunteer information. If they want to ask that hard question, which many of them did, are you gay? Yes, I am gay. Why do you want to know? They're just curious. What's that like? It's like I knew when I was 4, but I couldn't conceptualize it. Oh, okay, okay. And then I taught 5th grade for a couple of days and sang to them. They know I sing to them. They love that. We learn about hyperbole and we learn about math and then, you know, give them fist bumps and we play heads up, 7 up. And it's funny when some people don't know how to play heads up, 7 up. And I'm like, what? This game has been around since, you know, probably Ring Around the Rosies. I mean, you know, Ring Around the Rosies is really about the Black Plague, but a lot of people don't know that. And as I say that, I think about Beetlejuice. I lived through the Black Plague, and I had a very good time doing that. I've seen The Exorcist about 167 times, and it keeps getting funnier every time I see it. Not to mention you talking to a gay guy. You think I'm qualified? Yeah. Not yet, bitch. So, and then, so yesterday I arrived thinking, oh, I'm going to teach 5th grade. I told them I'd see them. I gave them fist bumps. It was all good. No. Oh, by the way, you're going to teach 8th grade today. Oh. And then I thought, oh, full circle, because I started out teaching 8th grade, K through 8th, and then I moved to high school last year. And, you know, and it's all been good. I mean, those high schools are pretty chill. They're pretty cool. Very rarely have I ever had to break up a fight. I did teach them about war because they were learning about the Depression. I said, December 7th, 1941, because when we go to war, we make money. And I said it like that. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, think of all the cars and everything. And then the women had to go to work and make all the airplanes and stuff, because where are the men? The men are fighting. Now, everyone can do it. Everyone can do it. I said, your cat could go to war. Really? Yeah. And what are you doing? You're building the airplanes. And one of them was like, what about a Mercedes-Benz? I said, well, they don't really need those in war. It's just scrap metal. So, yeah. You know, I mean, when I shaved my head last year and I had the glasses, they kept calling me Mr. White. And I said, first of all, I'm not white. And don't call me Mr. White. And second of all, you all should not be watching that show. Well, we watch it because it's cut up. And I'm like, what do you mean you watch it because it's cut up? Well, on TikTok, they cut out all the boring parts, and I said, there's no boring parts to that show. So, yeah. So, it's been very interesting. Now, yesterday was interesting because you get all these different periods, and they come in, and the first period, they're okay. They're kind of lethargic. And then you get the second period, and they're like, hey, the 5th grade tells us you can sing. And I'm like, yeah. What do you want? So then they're like, why don't you rap some Tupac? I said, why? would I rap some Tupac? I love Tupac. Is Tupac dead? No, he's not dead. He's in a witness protection program. How do you know this? Because I'm 43 years old and I lived through the 90s. And Tupac's in witness protection. Isn't he right? Isn't that right, Johara? So what did I do? We talked about life, and then one of them, he says, I have a question. Oh, no, I don't want to ask it. I'm like, whoa, what's your question? No, I don't want to ask it. It's kind of embarrassing. What is it? And then finally he's like, it's a tough question. It's for me, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I walk over, and I look at him, and I stared at him, and I said, I have no fear, so ask away. You're going to ask if I'm gay, aren't you? Yeah. What's wrong with that? That's who I am. That's how I was born. You were born that way, a bunch of them said. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, what's up? You have no fear? I said, at this very moment, I have no fear now. And he's like, that's badass. I said, no, just have no fear. Even last night when I was light smoking the cigar, and we were watching the bonfire, my friend and I, and the fire would start to drip near me, and then I'd stare at it, and it would go out, you know. I'm about that life, so, you know, I know how to stare at the fire and make it go out. And then I know how to bring it back, too. So don't fuck with me. But, so what did I do? What did I do? I go up to the class, I'm walking around, I'm like, okay. So, they wanted songs. They wanted some Bruno. I said, oh, God, Bruno, you know. They wanted some Led Zeppelin because one of them, he was challenging me. He says, remember when you said that you're an agnostic? And I said I'd never said I was an agnostic. Well, you wanted me to prove to you that God exists. And I said, I'm already aware of that. But okay, where are you going with these? And so I said, hey, I'll sing you Led Zeppelin. Stairway to Heaven. He's like, okay. But then I let this song out because they were like, where do you go and sing? And I said, well, sometimes I go to a bar and I sing, and, you know. And then they're like, is there background music playing? So of course. But it just so happens right now in this moment in a classroom, there's no background music and there's no DJ. And if there was, maybe it would be a better environment for all of you. Or as someone likes to say, it would be more of a conducive environment. Yeah, they like that word, don't you? And, but let me see if I can, I hate it when I have the tablet. We are all on fucking tablets with computer. I love singing the song, so, and I know it all too well, but I want to sing my favorite part. Yeah. One of these nights, one of these crazy old nights, we're gonna find out what turns on your light. I've been searching for the daughter of the devil himself. I've been searching for an angel in white. I've been waiting for a woman who's a little of both. And I feel her, but she's nowhere in sight. Ooh, loneliness will blind you. Because they asked me to do the falsetto. They were like, do the falsetto. I was like, okay. And I did the falsetto. And the one kid's like, ooh, look at that. And I'm like, yeah. I said, you know who could do the falsettos? And they're like, who? Michael could do the falsetto. But for me, you know who really knows how to do the falsetto? And they're like, who? I said, Prince. And the one kid's like, yeah, my mom loves Prince. And I said, Prince was so secure in himself, who he was as a man and as an artist, that he had a female voice. Wait, how'd you know that? I said, because I studied Prince. Prince had a female voice called Camille. So, you know, when he would sing that song, if I was your girlfriend, would you remember all the things I've done when I was your man, when I was your best friend? And that's how he wrote Manic Monday, because he originally wrote Manic Monday for his female band, Abalonia. But then he ended up giving it to the Bangles. And oh, the 80s. To explain to people about the 80s who weren't there when you were a little kid and you've got your lunchbox and you're listening to George Michael on the, you know, bus radio. And that's when you're like, oh, yeah, I probably am gay because, you know, even though back then we didn't know that George was gay yet, you know. But, you know, it's Careless Whisper. through the heart and mind. But I will say, I remember in the 90s, he put out one of my favorites, Fast Love. And I knew he was gay when I heard that. Because he was like, my friends all got ladies. They're all having babies. And I just want to have some fun. It's like, yeah, because we can't really make babies. We could. I mean, Joan Rivers always had a really good joke where she was talking about how a gay guy fakes orgasm. He just spits on the guy's back. But, you know, yeah. So here I am just letting the cat out of the bag. Letting the cat out of the bag. What was it like for those? That it really was a short time that I subbed. I mean, it seems like forever, you know, you're locked into something and you're enjoying it at first, and then things happen and people happen and emotions happen, and your whole trajectory changes and you're at a standstill. I remember, you know, I had car wrecks and everything and probably some PTSD and also, but you know, I wouldn't say necessarily loved what I did. I like after the car wreck, I went to work the next day and I was sore, but because, you know, I'm going to survive. I'm going to thrive. This is what I do. You know, I got to make that money, baby. And, you know, I did. And here we are almost a year later. And yeah, it's been an interesting ride. It has. And I thank everyone for all the opportunities that I was given. But at the same time, you know, we all have grievances and shit like that. And we all have things that we have to get through. And so, you know, as an artist, I don't even like to say podcaster because that's just a podcaster. But as an artist and as a man and as a gay man and as a person and as a being and as this and that, I really am aware of things. And so, you know, I'm an artist first and foremost. I write and I sing and I do all this other, I do paint sometimes and I draw. So, you know, that's what it's all about. So I want to thank those who allowed me, you know, to do what I do. You know, I'm just this kid with a bachelor's degree and I go in there and I teach and basically babysit for free. Play them some music, listen to their problems, talk to them, make sure, you know, they're up to par. But I loved it when they would say, you're not really a real teacher. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, uh-oh, the cat's out of the bag. And they're like, no, you're not like our teacher. And I'm like, well, first of all, we both went to school, so I am a teacher. So based on my education and based on my experience, I am a teacher. So I don't think so. And then you have to prove that to them. Or the ones who are taller than me, and they stand up to me, and they're like, stand in my business. And I'm like, you are my business. Mic drop. But you're not a real teacher. I am a teacher. And if you say that again, I'm going to call the office. But the best one, you know, Vanessa Williams, when she said, you go and save the best for last. Oh, baby, did you save the best for last? I mean, I'm saving the best for last at the end of the year. But that's a horror of a different color that I can talk about because that's personal. Oh, here we go. If you grew up in the 90s, you remember this fucking shit. You remember that fucking shit? Yeah. There we go, baby. It is enough. She's so pretty. Yeah. Escaped a scandal as Miss America. That's right. This world is a crazy place, Vanessa. You better fucking believe it. It's a fucking crazy place. And it's just getting crazier. Or as George Carlin said, you've got a front row seat to the freak show. This is a freak show. And one day I'll do a podcast on what a freak I was growing up. Oh, I was. I love how some people think I'm fucking vanilla. And it's like, no. You're saying I'm vanilla because in truth, you're vanilla. Yeah, I see it. Anyway, we'll get to that when I get to that. So I saved the best for last. Anyway, I have to cue that back up because Vanessa, you know, she's got to keep us honest here. Isn't that right? So, I love this song. Oh, yeah, baby. She was getting it when she was singing that. Come on. She's singing about her ex-husband at the time. You know, her manager, because that's what you do. You marry the manager and shit like that. That's a smart move. And then you break up, and it's like, fuck, where'd I go? So, Save the best for last. Save the best for last. Save the best for last. It was a year ago. I was in a classroom. And I'm walking around. I'm watching their computers. Some of them are on Home Depot. And I'm like, what the heck are you doing? Oh, no, he was on Walmart. So what are you doing? I'm building a deck with my uncle. Then go on Home Depot. Wait. I'm not doing the work. And you tell me to go to on Home Depot? Well, if you're going to build a deck, you at least should build it properly and not get the stuff from Walmart. Okay. Now do the work. I'm walking around and making my way. You know, I'm like Vanessa Carlton, making my way. fuck that song. All these fucking songs. And this one student says, hey, Mr. B, yeah, what's going on? I got something to tell you. Yeah, what is it? They say you sound kind of gay. I said, I am gay. You got a problem with it? Her response was like, whoa, bro, bro. Whoa, bro. I say, hey, if you can't take it, then don't ask that question. Don't say that to me. But yeah, I am. And then they're like, do you support me? I was like, yeah, so wholeheartedly. I wouldn't be a good gay man if I didn't support my people. Come on. Then I felt like Moses when I said that, you know. It's like, let my people go. Fucking shit. And then they would come at me with the inappropriate questions. I'm like, you cannot ask me that, because they wanted to buy me things. And I'm like, just buy me some chips. I'm hungry. Buy me a sandwich or something. Buy me a burrito. But don't ever ask if you were going to buy me that. And then they ask what kind of guys I dated. And I'm like, you can't ask me that either. That's inappropriate. Go to the office. I don't want to. Then be quiet. And I had my kettlebell. And so they knew that I was working out in between classes, and I was lifting, I was doing push-ups, and they're watching me. And they're like, oh, right, you got to do the push-ups this way. Your hands need to be here. And I'm like, all right, all right. So, yeah, it was an experience, you know, because like Vanessa said, you know, I saved the best for last. And that was the best for last. And when I did that, when I outed myself, someone gave me some really good kudos. And a very good response. And I mentioned them because I felt that support. I felt that support ever since we were talking. I always felt that support. And I support you. I always support you. Yeah. Always support you. It made it more worthwhile knowing that I was doing the right thing. And they had my back. It was good. And then I gave away my Mandalorian helmet to my nephew. Because I was told that I'm already a hero. And I should take the helmet off. Thank you for that. Thank you. And that was, you know, I'll save the best for last was when I would put that helmet on one time. And one of them, he said to me, I wore the helmet to work, and he said, you kept your promise. And I said, I did, man. I gave him a fist bump, and I said, only for you would I keep my promise. All of you. So, yeah, it's been interesting. It's been fascinating. It's been one hell of a trip, as the Grateful Dead would say. And good night.